the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now, so far this year, we've been bringing you some features to mark the centenary of the 1916 Rising, which is one of the pivotal political moments in modern Irish history. As part of those ongoing features, this week we look to Brighton itself for a taste of Irish history with Ty Galvin, the chairperson of Brighton Irish. Ty's great uncle Tyge Barry was a founder member of Sinn Féin with Arthur Griffith in 1907 and was under arms in the 1916 Rising itself. He was also the first secretary of the Irish Transport and General Workers Union Cork branch at its foundation and brought James Connolly to Cork on two separate occasions. When Connolly was executed after the Rising, Tyge Barry took up his mantle, and between then and 1921, membership of the union went up from 5,000 members to over 100,000. Ty, now in his 70s and living here in Brighton, will bring you a glimpse of the Tyge Barry story.
Dawn was breaking over Ballykinder on the morning of November the 15th, 1921. Nature exposed the landscape stark and forbidding in its gloom. A thick, chilly mist enveloped the Moreland Mountains, which lay beyond Dundrum Bay. Gradually, the campsite became visible. Approximately 200 wooden huts, sited on a large exposed tract of sandy wasteland bounded by the sea. Bleak and gloomy, devoid of any natural shelter, an indifferent bare country lay to the west and north. Barbed wire entanglements met the eye everywhere. Both inside and outside the camp, great coils were strewn or wound around stakes. Sentry posts, and there were many, usurped all the vantage points and were manned by young armed soldiers day and night. Mud everywhere. The roads churned up by the heavy lorries were uneven, and large pools of thick, muddy water invaded the whole area. Inside the camp, news had gone round that some of the internees were being released on parole. On such occasions, it was customary for their comrades to await them inside the gateway and give them a chair and send-off. Little groups began to arrive. Suddenly, a shot rang out. An internee fell mortally wounded. A bullet had penetrated the region of his heart. He lay in a pool of blood and died within a few minutes. Those near him rushed to his assistance but were threatened and ordered to go back by the soldiers. Reverend Father Burbage, another internee, knelt beside the dying man on the muddy ground and prayed at the passing of a gallant Irishman's soul. The camp chaplain was summoned and arrived in time to administer the last sacraments. It was journey's end for Tyge Barry of Cork. His creator had broken the shackles which bound him on earth and invested him with a freedom which no earthly power could confer. Tyge Barry of Cork was the last high-profile victim of the British forces in Ireland during the War of Independence. A veteran Republican activist, he was a full-time organiser for the Irish Transport and General Workers Union and an alderman on Cork City Corporation at the time of his arrest and imprisonment without charge or trial in January 1921. He was shot through the heart by a sentry in Ballykinder internment camp in County Down on the 15th of November 1921 while waving goodbye to comrades leaving on parole. The sense of sorrow and anger at the cruel death of a widely loved, charismatic character was exacerbated by the timing. Weeks later, he would have been released along with all his fellow internees as part of the treaty settlement. Barry's murder was a huge but now largely forgotten event in Ireland. The Pathé newsreel captures a who's who of Republican leaders following his coffin in Dublin, including Michael Collins and Cathal Brew, who would soon become Civil War enemies and victims. Dublin City came to a halt, and the Dublin IRA had its last full mobilisation before the split. The funeral in Cork dwarfed even those of Barry's comrades, the martyred Lord Mayors Tomás McCurtain and Terence McSweeney. Irish newspapers were filled with reports of his death, funeral, and the overwhelming national reaction. It seemed as if Tagbary would join the pantheon of Republican martyrs. Instead, his name is now little known, meriting at best one or two lines or a footnote in most historical accounts. He was also quickly erased from collective memory, even in his native city, where no significant memorial to him exists. Clearly, timing is everything in these circumstances. The Anglo-Irish Treaty was signed 3 weeks to the day after Barry's death and monopolised attention. The united movement that elevated Barry to hero martyr status was ripped asunder in the ensuing civil war, and the name of Tagbary became lost in the smoke. Poignantly, he had written in December 1918, during one of his many incarcerations, that he did not mind dying in jail if it will do good. He did die in jail and offered nationalist Ireland a final united show of strength.